truthfully, what happens is, as children grow up, we start to educate them progressively from the waist up. And then we focus on their heads, and slightly to one side.
I think in the old days, you know, you were better off. Because nowadays, they're all specialists. Everyone's becoming better and better, and less and less. And eventually, someone's going to be superb at nothing.
Our education system has mined our minds in the way that we've strip-mined the earth for a particular commodity. And for the future, it won't serve us. We have to rethink the fundamental principles on which we're educating our children.
We're not here to tell everybody that they're wrong and we're right. We're not saying that we have all the answers, but we'd like to present a different way of looking at it.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Teacher Troubles, where we listen to slightly, if not completely, disgruntled teachers living and working in China. With our in-house psychologist, Dr. Anthony Benton, back from nearly a year's absence, finishing his PhD in Why Humans Behave Like They Do Economics, we dissect the problem at hand like a hot knife in butter and try to serve up some tasty tips on toast that will feed your appetite for teaching again. Welcome to China Jedi, Dr. Benton. Where in the world are you today? Dr. Benton, can you hear us?
Yes, hi Chris, just about. It's a
little
noisy here.
It certainly is. Where are you? It sounds like you're some busy place. You're not still in China, are you?
I'm not in China. Try and have a guess.
Well, probably knowing you, probably somewhere in Thailand, perhaps.
Oh, good guess. Yeah, you know me. I love Thailand. I'm in Bangkok. I was actually looking for somewhere to eat, and I inadvertently ended up walking down Khao San Road.
Anthony, what are you doing in Thailand at the moment? I wasn't told you were there.
I'm going to a conference.
Okay. Well, listen.
This evening, but tomorrow.
If we're going to do this podcast, you're going to have to find a quieter place because it's just so loud in the background.
Are you sure? There's some lovely Thai girls here to join the conversation if you'd like.
Well, maybe another time. But yeah, is that possible?
Yeah, I'll go and find somewhere quieter. I'm almost there.
Okay, so let's listen to our first teacher trouble and then get back to you.
G'day, Teacher Troubles. My name's Bruce Sheila, and I have a concern with my school in Shenzhen. I'm teaching kindergarten kids, and I feel like the children get too much drilling from the other teachers sometimes. They're told to line up and stand straight, and seems like there's too much military control with them being told to stand still and march around all the time.
By the way.
Sorry about that. I was wondering if you guys had any advice. Xin Xin, don't pee in the corridor, love. I was wondering if you had any advice of how to make life a little bit more relaxing for the children. Any advice you got for me would be much appreciated. Thanks, mates.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a message from Bruce. Anthony, Dr. Benton, we found a quiet room. Can you hear me? Are we all connected?
Yep, no problem.
Lovely, that's fantastic. So, great to have you on again after so long.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm sure the listeners have a plethora of questions, as do I, but you know, we've got to just rock on with this new show, Teacher Troubles, and let's get straight down to this trouble then. So, Bruce, I guess he's from Australia by the sound of it, having a bit of trouble in Shenzhen. In your experience, because of course you've spent a lot of time in China too before you went off on your educational excursions. Have you come across this kind of military control, lining up all the time kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. It's all to do with behaviour and controlling the children, isn't it? It's, you could go along the lines of some social conditioning, but China is very much an ordered society and they like to have things under control, don't they? So, I mean, all children like to run riot around the classroom, don't they? Even back in the West, you know, we have to have a certain level of control over the children. But in China, yes, they certainly like to follow a more kind of militaristic style of behaviour control. Absolutely.
I mean, off my head, when you've got 1.3 plus billion people, I suppose having kind of some order is probably not a bad order. Is it?
The order of the day.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I suppose so to a certain degree. All society likes to have their citizens fall in line, don't they, and follow the law and be respectful and social individuals, I guess. So different cultures have their different ways of approaching how to teach social responsibility.
I go back to when I was in England as a kid, you'd have playground time and then there'd be a whistle and then you'd line up and you'd all get into your, you know, your tutor groups and things. Now, that never seemed to be a long process, you know, maybe there was a little bit more whistles that went on when cues weren't coming in the order they were meant to be. But for my take, being a teacher in China, I definitely know where Bruce is coming from here. It's something that... So where we come from in England, Anthony, I would say that the idea of this kind of everyday going over rules, lining up, learning this kind of process, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, da da da, is kind of meant so the children can learn to switch onto another task and go through that transition phase efficiently and effectively, so the teacher can then start to give them something else to learn with. So it's kind of like just keeping the flow. That's what I would, as a teacher, would say it's good for. But certainly from what I've seen, and I'm sure this is what Bruce is picking up, it does seem to be rather, shall we say, a little bit OTT when someone maybe from the West, if someone not from China, comes to a Chinese. I mean, this sounds like a definite Chinese public school. This doesn't seem like maybe an international school. I don't know. I have no idea where he's teaching, but it does seem to be that kind of traditional Chinese school.
I suspect that international schools have a slightly different approach. But yeah, like you say, it's the transitional phase of snapping children to attention and getting them on the focus of the teacher ready for the next phase of the class. But it sounded to me as though Bruce possibly has a... From the sounds of things in his... question there, it sounded like he mentioned a corridor, I think. So perhaps his issue isn't necessarily just with the children in the classroom and maintaining control in the classroom, but possibly in between classes, maybe going outside or going to a new classroom or going to lunch. Maybe in the West we have a little bit more freedom, the children have a little bit more responsibility to take control of their own lives, where in my experience I think the Chinese teachers like to have the children under control throughout the whole process, rather than let them choose for themselves at what time they should go to lunch and... when they should arrive in class on time. And of course it depends on the age of the children.
Well, what is Brucey? Sorry, Bruce, if you don't mind me calling you Brucey. Well, I guess he's not on the podcast, so I can't ask him that. But
you mean, where's he from?
What was his grade? Do we know what his grade is?
He's mentioned a kindergarten teacher, didn't he?
Kindergarten in Shenzhen. Well, okay.
So young children.
I think what you've just said, it just brought up this thing in my mind. Order versus chaos. Now, that's an interesting philosophical debate, because having spent a lot of time in, let's say, India, which I think is just a world of chaos, there is order that comes from it. So out of chaos comes order, and maybe out of order comes chaos. And my point is, in the schools I've been in China, they do seem to have a very, how shall I say, big affinity to having order. Order looks...
Harmony. They like to have harmony in China, which is very admirable.
Yeah, I mean, can you have harmony in chaos? I would suggest possibly.
Well, I often think as much as you can try and guide people on the path to harmony, that can often instigate chaos, because obviously we have, well, unless you're an avid follower of the determinists, then of course we have free will. So, you know, there's the different camps of being a determinist and,
right,
do we have free will? But I would say I'm probably a soft determinist, so I don't think that all of our behaviour is completely dictated by our surroundings and our social upbringings and our family and our DNA. You know, I think there is a certain limit of free will. So as much as you try to promote harmony, people are going to try and make decisions for themselves, especially young children.
I tell you what, Dr. Benton, I should be calling you here. Things seem to have changed since you were last back in the studio all those times ago, looking over the Pagoda Lake. You really seem to have changed your tune somewhat. I think we should do a pod on this. The researchers are telling me to be quiet on the life of Anthony Benton in the last year, doing all your studies.
The seedy side.
Yeah, talking to me about determinism. Okay, let's not get onto this. I would determine, though, what you've just said about Bruce, Sheila, is that when you're lining up in a corridor, you might want to wonder, because I remember this from a school I used to work in, if the corridor's not very wide and you've got classes lining up outside at the same time, you may have a little bit of problem and therefore need order with shifting those lines out to wherever they're going
absolutely.
Next.
Absolutely, there's a case for logistics. I can understand that point of view.
Deterministic logistics?
Possibly. I think maybe, I mean, they're kindergarten children, so there's a line between control and fun. Perhaps Bruce could integrate while they're all lined up and being good little citizens. Perhaps you could have them keeping fit at the same time, you know, get them jumping up and down.
That's it,
while they're lined up, you know.
Yeah.
Jump three times.
Yeah.
Kids are like that, you can get them to count to three at the same time. Maybe tell them to do it quietly so it's not too noisy in the corridor. But, you know, they don't have to be standing dead still, do they? You know, they're young kids. They've got a lot of energy. So get them to line up and say, jump three times.
Sounded like
put your hands on your head.
One of the children was finding it hard to hold it all in. And in that situation, of course, you really do have a bit of chaos, don't you? If
yes,
a child can't control their bodily...
One child...
Yeah, by the sound of
things can often lead into a cascade of waterfalls.
But Bruce, you know, we don't know how long you've been in China, but we've been there, brother. We know exactly what you're going through. I do feel there is a difference when you work in a school setting in China, in a traditional Chinese school, that very much it is all about that order, stepping in line, as opposed to maybe that more freer, just let it flow kind of thing that you see in the West more. And I'm sure, and I know from my experience in international schools, Anthony.
And of course that can be a point of struggle for a foreign teacher, you know, when we come from a very different social background and we're suddenly faced with having to adjust to this different way of educating children and the way they're instructed to do things, you know, it can be a time to acclimate for this foreign teacher into the way Chinese do things. But it doesn't mean you have to forget what you think is the correct way of educating.
Ooh.
For example, again, like, you've got the children lined up, and you don't have to be too noisy. I mean, for example, if they're on the way to the dining room, whatever, the canteen to have the lunch, make it into a fun thing. You've got the kids lined up. Why not try a military chant?
The chant
for the kids. There you go. You've got them all lined up doing their orderly line, and you're teaching them some English at the same time. I'd like you to try a little thing with me, actually, Chris.
Oh, you've got to... Hang on, Anthony. Before you go anywhere here... I don't know how long you've been frolicking in your conferences in Bangkok, but what I will say is, of course, and this is to Bruce too, and any listener out there, if you are going to do a chant that might get into the charts in China, you do have to probably pass the words through your leadership before.
There'll be nothing inappropriate here. It's just a bit of fun. I'd like you to chant with me then, Chris. You know,
you want to do a chant with me?
Absolutely. Much like you would if you were in the Marines or what have you. You know, I'm the drill sergeant, and you just repeat what I say.
So from Bangkok to Zhuhai, we're going to do a chant. I love this. Researchers look a little bit apprehensive.
Don't worry, researchers. I'm sure I can't see their faces, but
okay.
Are you ready?
So what, you're going to say
it? I'll say it, you just repeat what I say.
Okay, here we go.
I don't like to line up.
I don't like to line up.
I am not a grown up.
I am not a grown up.
You treat us like we're sheeple.
You treat us like we're sheeple.
But we are just little people.
But we are just little people.
Learning should expand my mind.
Learning should expand our mind.
Teachers, please don't make it a grind.
Teachers, please don't make it a grind.
You tell us not to make a sound.
You tell us not to make a sound.
We are off to the playground.
We are off to the playground.
There you go.
Okay, right. There you go. Whoa, that's a bit tough for kindergarten, I reckon, especially ELLs.
You'd be surprised. They pick up things very quickly, young children. They might not understand every word, but their children pick up things very, very quickly.
That's that kind of American boot camp kind of English,
isn't it? Well, we're going along with the militaristic style of things, right? And the teachers, Bruce Sheila, is concerned about the effectiveness of this... set order on the children, so add a little bit of fun to it.
Well, yeah, I like the amalgamation of... Because I'm sure Bruce, I haven't seen his contract, of course, but I'm sure it's to push some sort of internationalisation into what school he's in now. So taking that orderly, rather militaristic, as he said, line-up set phase or whatever else they do, Bruce, is to put a little bit of that kind of Western feel into it.
Exactly, mix things up a little bit. You know, when you're telling the kids to line up, tell them to make a zigzag.
Well, I tell you what, Anthony.
Unless it's blocking the corridor, of course.
Yes.
Make room for the little girl, Xing Xing, I think he said, to get to the bathroom quickly.
Shit. Well, with that in mind, this new teacher's trouble thing, third Bruce's trouble, we end apparently, I'm being told, with a teacher's tip, which I guess is based on the troubles that Brucey boy, if I can call you that, Bruce, has been having. So here we go. Teacher's tip for the first teacher's trouble.
A recipe for success if you want to compete.
Teacher's tip then. I guess I've got to say it as well. I was a teacher in China. Maybe I'll go first. I'm sure Dr. Benton is going to come up with some wonderful, interesting tips for Bruce there. Well, you've said quite a few already, actually, Doctor. What I would say, I've seen this, I know exactly what you're saying. The first thing that comes to mind is when in Rome, do as Rome does. It really is the kind of way that a lot of millions of Chinese students, be it kindergarten, elementary, middle, or high school, do kind of get treated and ordered. In school, do you think you can change it? Probably you should say no. Do you think maybe you could evolve it and add something into it? Possibly, but I would tread very carefully, Bruce. One thing you don't want to do is, as I remember the interview for the JET program in Japan, stick the nail up too much, otherwise you'll get hit back down. So it all depends. We can't be general in this show about where you are, what your relationship is with the teacher. But I would say just being away in another country, lap it up and try probably not to do too much to change it. And if you do, be very careful about how you go about it. Does that make any sense there, Doctor?
Absolutely. Don't rock the boat.
Mm.
I would go along with what you're saying.
Bloody
hell. Along the evolution path that you were saying. I would try in the famous direction of Mr. B.F. Skinner, some operant conditioning.
Oh, yes. Operant.
Some positive reinforcement, but not for the children. Here's the twist. Because very often I know that there can be a slight battle between the way the foreign teacher does things and possibly his Chinese assistants. So you need to try and win those assistants onto your way of doing things. So maybe you could try some operant conditioning to adjust their behaviour slowly and gently. You know, maybe some positive reinforcement, you know, when the teacher's mimicking or following you, what you're doing, practicing your routines, you can, I don't know, give them a chocolate, give them some welcome praise. Well done, teacher, I like the way you're going. And obviously, you've got to have the negative reinforcement as well, the punishment, you know, when if a teacher, especially if you feel a teacher is possibly too strong in the direction of the children, then maybe you can have words with them and advise them that that's possibly not the ideal way to correct the children.
And then no chocolate.
Punishment, I don't know, get out the spanking stick or something.
Oh, God.
No, a stern word is enough, I think.
And that, I mean, in China, you would probably say that stern word would be in private, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You don't want anyone to lose face in front of any other teachers. Don't, please avoid any embarrassment for any other teachers. If you feel there's anything you need to correct with your Chinese staff, yes, take them to one side for sure.
What was the implement? How did you describe it?
The spanking stick, was it?
Spanking stick. It's rather Victorian.
For the teachers, let me make that clear. Yeah. Your Chinese assistant's not for the children.
Right, and I have to say, actually, Anthony, piggybacking on that and that tip of yours, Dove chocolate does seem to be what a lot of my teachers are into.
There you go. It doesn't even need to be expensive chocolate.
Is that it, Doctor? Is there anything else to come out today?
Well, you could try, you know, children love singing, so you could possibly put on Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall, if you feel things get too strong.
Yeah, if... Yes! Actually, I do like to fill my classroom sometimes with some music. I think it's nice to give Chinese children something
Absolutely.
Else to listen
Teacher,
to.
Teacher, leave those kids alone.
Yes! Which is exactly what we're going to end on. Anthony, it's a lovely doctor, shall I say, having you back all the way from Bangkok.
Pleasure to talk to you, Chris. I shall...
get back to your conference.
Get back to Khao San Road.
And we'll speak to you soon, yeah?
Tally ho.
Yeah, what is it? What's thank you in Thai again?
Sawadee
ka. Ah, sawadee ka.
There you go. I love the way girls say sawadee ka.
There you go. This is China Jedi, people.
If you enjoy listening to the China Jedi podcast and want to get involved, either by asking a question, expressing your opinion, good or bad, light or dark, or even appearing as a special guest, then get in touch by emailing our team at info@chinajedi.com. That's info@chinajedi.com.
May the smile be with you.